From an early age, I've kind of always got people together, organized events, even hosted quizzes there and was the quiz master. One of my favorite meals was there was this massive dining table outside. There were loads of us around there. Everybody sort of chipped in with the food. It was just like something amazing about it. I just think, again, he's not someone that's just in your face hilarious. He's just like this massive, like warm character that I think we just got on with everybody. Both me and my wife, a lot of our friends have kind of have a shared love of like dancing and music.
Today, I'm chatting to Antosh, co-founder of Rhythmic Cocktails, who I'm excited to say is actually also the sponsor of this episode. I don't know about you, but for me, a dinner party is just as much about curating the atmosphere as it is about everything else, and that is where Rhythmic comes in. Rhythmic Cocktails bring the vibe of your favourite cocktail bar and music venue wherever you are with their bar quality bottle cocktails and DJ curated playlists. Simply open the bottle, pour the cocktail over ice, scan the playlist, and enjoy good times. Easy peasy. And their new dinner party pack featuring their incredible espresso martini and cult classic, the Marlowe Negroni, with their accompanying soundtracks, provide the perfect top and tail to an expertly hosted dinner party. Thanks again to Rhythmic for sponsoring this episode. Let's get into it. Hello.
Hiya.
How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Good. How's everything going?
Exciting times with the cocktails at the moment. So yeah. Had a lot of time at the beginning of the year to kind of get things organized and stuff. Because at the end of the last year, it's just all just go out and get everybody tasting it and trying to sell the cocktails. And this year's, and then put everything off. In the beginning of this year, we're trying to get everything organized and get ready for the year ahead. So I think we're almost there. Yeah.
Do you want to give everyone a brief overview of the business and who you are in case they don't follow you already?
Yeah, we're Rhythmic Cocktails. So it's me and my sister. It started in lockdown because I had a bar which was known for cocktails and music. Whilst the bar was shut during the lockdowns, a lot of people were asking me to deliver cocktails to them. So I started batching them, bottling them. But before I did that, my sister Tash, who does drinks branding, is a drinks branding specialist, she said, well, why don't we actually do this properly and make a business out of it rather than just do it as a stopgap whilst you whilst your bar is closed. So together we sort of created this idea of a brand, and the idea was to kind of connect the atmosphere of the bar and the music with the cocktails. So each cocktail has a playlist to match what we feel the experience of the drink should be. So we kind of sketched out some ideas. She gave someone from her work, said, oh, can I have a look at it? And then he sort of designed all the labels and made them look amazing. We just kind of added other ones as we've gone along and had a few limited editions. And yeah, here we are now. We're actually both full time on it now. A year and a half ago, I closed my bar to sort of have a slightly more 9-to-5 life. Well, that hasn't, it's not really happening. And I had it for 11 years. So I was at that point where I was like, right, I'm kind of need something else to do. And then this happened. So I was like, oh, okay, that's my next thing I want to do rather than, stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning and stuff. Yeah. I think I kind of, I did everything I wanted to do with a bar and I kind of like, this is the next step. So it's like starting from scratch again, which is...
It's definitely a different vibe, isn't it?
From
working in a bar. But that's so exciting. It's so funny how like things like naturally happen. No, so interesting. It's also when you said like a 9-to-5, but not really. Have you seen that meme that's like when you start your own business to work a 9-to-5, but you end up working 24/7?
Yeah. So that's the thing. It's really difficult to balance and stuff. There's that, because you always see the more you work, the more you earn, essentially, at some point anyway. So you could keep on working, because every time you don't work, you're not working, you're not earning. Mm-hmm. I haven't had a salary as such for sort of 13 years. So it's quite weird. You know that every time you're not working, you're sort of forfeiting stuff. But at the same point, I'm a bit better at getting a balance now and trying to sort of stopping. Kind of how I've got a 6-year-old as well. So it kind of helps because if he comes back from school and stuff, I find it a bit hard to concentrate. So.
Yeah, it gives you enforced boundaries.
it does. Yeah. And it's sort of, bedtimes at a certain time or whatever. So you've got that balance. I enjoy it, so it's just same with anything, same with the bar, same with anything. If you do it too much, it becomes a chore. So it's kind of finding that balance, which I'm a lot better than when the first 7 years of the bar, I was just there like constantly.
All the time.
Well, I lived upstairs as well for the first.
Oh no, disaster!
Years, so, yeah. you go to and it was like 3 o'clock finishes, so you'd kind of still, if you went to bed early, you'd still hear everything, and so you're never away. You'd kind of, just to get out the bar, you'd end up speaking to all the regulars and stuff, and then you'd take an hour to walk out your front door. So it was an experience.
So we're gonna be talking about your dream dinner party today. You like to host, it sounds like you like to host.
Yes, yeah. I think like from an early age, I've kind of always got people together, organized events and stuff to get people together to, like, I guess that was more like music related. And then as I got older, yeah, always enjoyed hosting people, whether it was like coming to my place after a night out or something. And then I think that's where all the desire to open up my own bar came from. So yeah, I was hosting obviously a lot then, whether it was, yeah, like just having people, but organizing events there, even hosted quizzes there and was the quiz master. So yeah, just in lots of different ways. In a way though, because that was my job, I stopped hosting at home, because, well, partly because I gave up all my weekends and stuff like that. And then things become like work. But now, nearly been 2 years since I've left the bar, so all the elements of the bar, which the reason I opened the bar was because I enjoyed all those elements, the music, the hosting, the food, all that kind of stuff, I've now bit by bit got the enthusiasm back for them. So it's quite strange. It's like sort of, I had to like kind of stop it and then realize that it isn't work anymore, and then it's just a niceness. So now I'm sort of really like enjoying hosting again. When me and my wife bought our house, the first thing we saw was it's an old house, and I don't think it had been touched in maybe 50 years or something. It was, and it had a dining room, and our first thought was like, wow, this would be so cool for hosting. And it has like a really nice garden as well. All of it was completely run down, and we've spent loads of time sort of refurbishing stuff and trying to bring it back to where it was. So then whilst I still had the bar and we were still refurbishing again, we haven't hosted as much as we'd like to, but now we start, it's great. It's makes us want to, because we spent so much time trying to refurbish it. We're like, we've got to, the reason we bought it,
doing it for something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So no, it's good. It's, we love hosting people here as well. So it's it's great.
So will you be hosting your dream dinner party?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Where would you like to host it?
I would like to host it in our garden. I mean, there's only three of us that live here. It's me and my wife and my son. But I bought a massive garden table.
Nice.
I think once we went on holiday to Ibiza, and it was a big group of people. And I think one of my favourite meals was that when there was this massive dining table outside. There were loads of us around there. Everybody sort of chipped in with the food. There was a barbecue, and it was just like something amazing about it. And you can't get that same feeling, I think, indoors, whether it's a restaurant, whether it's hosting it. I can't fit that many people inside. So it's just something about hosting outside. And I spend a lot of time gardening.
Me too.
Brilliant. Yeah. I just like just little bits and pieces, and just like tweaking things, planting little bits in different bits. And so it kind of, like, the setting keeps changing as well. It's like, it's nothing's fixed. Things pop up, colours change and stuff. And for me, our like little patio outside with a table, it's, I've had some of our like sort of my favourite experiences at home there. It's nice. And yeah, like when, and then as the light starts to go, and you've got like festoon lights or candles and stuff, it just sort of creates like an experience that you can't really get anywhere else, I don't think.
Like starting out in the garden, but then it like turning into the evening is such a nice vibe, isn't it? I'm like, I've got a shared garden at the moment, but I'm dying to have my own like space that I can do whatever I want in all of the beds and things. So fun. Okay, so hosting in the garden, what time of year is it?
Probably early summer, just before everything starts to dry out and looks like, well, it depends on an English, so you don't really know where that's going to happen.
No, don't know what you're going to get.
when things are kind of slightly overgrown, but controlled, like overgrown, mm-hmm. and things are flowering, popping up. It's warm. Well, it's got to be warm. It helps if it's warm in the evening, mm-hmm. which again, you don't really know whether that's going to happen in England or not. But yeah, then it's a dream, isn't it? It's a dream dinner.
It's a dream. It doesn't mean it's necessarily your perfect weather day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so early summer, probably like late May, beginning of June or something like that. That's a nice time, I think. So I think statistically, like the beginning of June's like the least rain as well. We got married, it was on the 6th of June because we looked at the statistics of when it's less likely to rain. And it was fine. It was perfect. So
did you have much of your wedding outside? Were you relying on the weather?
No, it was in a barn.
Okay.
But it had an outdoor bit. So like it definitely made a big difference being able to have a lot of it outside. But the eating was inside. We kind of bulletproofed it by setting up that bit. But a lot of the earlier bits were all outside and people sort of lounging around and stuff. Oh, yeah.
Nice. So we're in the garden in early June.
Yeah.
who are you inviting to your dream dinner?
Like in terms of like real people I know.
Ideally one dead, one alive, one fictional.
Oh, okay.
We've had some people go rogue as of late, so it's up to you.
I'm not sure how much fun should be, but I would love to have my great grandma. Well, maybe that was more for one for like when it's just me and her or so, but partly because like we're Polish family and my Polish probably isn't up to scratch, but also when I was 18, like when I was younger, I didn't really sort of have as much interest in other stuff other than maybe myself and going out and stuff. But she had like the most unbelievable life from like leaving Poland like during the war and mm-hmm. taking her six children through Siberia. So I didn't really ask enough questions when I was younger, don't. So she's like the most fascinating story and like tough as anything. Maybe that would be a slightly different dinner party, but someone that I'd definitely love to have mm-hmm. there and like to speak to. She might enjoy it, to be honest. Like she was like 99 when she died, so she was probably maybe when she was younger she must have been more of a like probably maybe a younger version of herself.
Yeah. Nice. Okay.
Other than that, so alive. I'd like something like that's funny, that's fun. But like I know if you go for so many, I always get this impression that comedians are always trying to like tell jokes out of everything, even if there isn't a joke there. So like I think. Or trying to be centre of attention. But I do like Rangish Ranganathan. I don't know how you say it.
Ramesh Ranganathan.
Ramesh, that's it, not Rangan. Just because he just seems really chilled. He's just fun. I like comedians that just seem to be funny and just seem, you could just picture hanging out with them.
Yeah, I feel like he would be a really good vibe at a dinner party.
Yeah, he's into music as well, which makes a big difference, I think. Yeah, that's kind of key to what I'm about, what I do and stuff like that. So he just seems like a good person. So I imagine some comedians, like, although they're hilarious, it just seems like you'd be like an audience mm-hmm. and everybody else would just be laughing, but just sitting there like listening to them. Whereas he seems more like someone that could probably sit next to my great grandma and make her laugh. So
yeah, I agree. I feel like it's a good mix already.
So I suppose it does work then mm-hmm. you've got to get the dynamic right, haven't you? In terms of fictional, Uncle Buck. have you seen the film Uncle Buck?
No.
Okay. Well,
you'll have to explain.
It's showing my age a bit. So John Candy, do you know John Candy? He was in Planes, Trains and Automobiles with Steve Martin.
Okay, yeah.
He's just like a larger than life character. And then in Uncle Buck, he's with Macaulay Culkin as well. I think Macaulay Culkin's the kid. And he's actually in Home Alone. He's the one that sort of has the band that helps the lady get back.
Yeah. I recognise him. I've just Googled him.
Oh, okay, yeah, he's just like, I just love his character, he's just so funny, he's like, just seems to be like the warmest guy ever, mm-hmm. I don't know, he's just hilarious. I just think, again, he's not someone that's just in your face hilarious, he's just mm-hmm. like this massive, like, warm character that I think mm-hmm. just got on with everybody. I think he just has this laugh and stuff that just
would bring a good energy.
Exactly, yeah, and then I think mm-hmm. around that, like, just sort of good friends and family that I think would just complement that vibe, and those guys would kind of fit in seamlessly with.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah. Nice. Okay. Yeah. Do you think? I mean, I think they'd. It feels like a good dynamic. Yeah. Already. What would you be listening to? I feel like this is where you come into your own.
I'm all about sort of playlists, just because mm-hmm. I think you get more of a flow with playlists. If you listen to like an album or just one artist, mm-hmm. they can go up and down, go in like different vibes to their songs depending mm-hmm. on where they were when they wrote the song. But I think with a playlist you can kind of control the flow a lot more, so you can I'd start off sort of pretty chilled. I've created a dinner playlist, so for a dinner
we're gonna share.
Yeah, so that's kind of like where I'd go with dinner. So it starts off pretty chilled, more setting the vibe rather than, mm-hmm. you know, people wanting to get people standing on the table dancing, just sort of background, nothing too like obvious, but like sets a tone. And then like lo-fi house, soultronic music, sort of a bit of sort of more laid back sort of soul and stuff. And mm-hmm. then sort of slowly building up, and then towards the end sort of disco edit stuff that people recognize. It's a bit more nice. Up tempo, and then kind of then that the dinner vibes playlist I put together kind of finishes at that point where you could go in which direction you want, mm-hmm. whether you want to just play a load of sort of 80s cheat, or you know, so it's kind of
open to interpretation.
Exactly. It's sort of makes people like energetic, because the last thing you want at the end of a meal is like a bit of Coldplay when everybody's a bit full and they just fall asleep or something. Yeah, so it's kind of it picks up the tempo, and then by the end it's like ready to go in whichever direction people want, whether you want to mm-hmm. someone wants to jump on the decks and have a mix and play some house, or whether you just mm-hmm. put another playlist on where everybody gets involved and chucks on a load of tracks. But it's
at that point people want to put on what they want to put on, don't
yeah
they?
Exactly. fighting over like the phone to put
what's your on. Like go-to to put on if you're like gonna get the party started?
If I wanted to like get people dancing pretty much straight away, I'd probably go for sort of 90s dance classics. I just feel there's so many songs there that just people mm-hmm. want to sing along and like dance to. I used to have a Back to 90s night at the bar, and it was one of my favorite ones, because whether it was like old school R&B and hip hop that people just mm-hmm. like seem to know all the words to, but don't at the same time, just sing along whatever they think are the words, or like some of the 90s class like Snap and Rhythm is a Dancer, or Freed from Desire, that kind of stuff. Happy dancing music, and then from there I'd probably go a bit more housey or whatever and play mm-hmm. That's where I'd go. If I wanted to like go from that dinner party vibes to actually people dancing, that's probably how I'd go. And then then I never really know when I play music, I'm never really sure where I'm gonna go. I DJed at my bar for a lot of times with different crowds. You kind of mm-hmm. just sort of start off, it's kind of fishing a little bit and then going off in different directions. So
I guess with DJing you can kind of suss whether people are enjoying it or whether you need to change the direction a little bit. Okay, so food, what are we going to be eating at your dinner party?
Well, as it's outside, going back to that sort of meal that I had like in Ibiza that time, and a couple of other occasions where it's like a barbecue with different meats and veg on the mm-hmm. barbecue, and then a lot of really nice sort of salads, like Ottolenghi style salad, like just filling up the table. But partly because you can prep all of them, spend ages on them in advance and have it all ready, and then you have more time to like actually enjoy the evening, because mm-hmm. you know, I've hosted Christmas and stuff for 20 people and you spend half
you don't
your time
enjoy it.
I remember like last time I did it, I spent all morning prepping everything, then cooking it, and then feeding everybody, and then by the time it all finished, it was
the day's kind of over.
It kind of carried on a bit, but then I'd also said I'd have a barbecue in the evening, so it was like time to do the barbecue in the evening. So I think but when you're cooking on a barbecue, people hang around by the barbecue, so even if you're still cooking, mm-hmm. people just seem to get involved more and stuff. And then and it doesn't seem to deteriorate as much if it's gone cold, you know, you can eat like a cold sausage. It's all fine, you know, it's all there, and it's mm-hmm.
if anything, the like cold sausage afterwards is better.
Yeah, exactly. So and you can Yeah, because you can do so much of the prep before and stuff, it's less time sensitive as well. So if you are having a chat with someone and like enjoying the moment, you can kind of just turn the heat down on the barbecue a bit, and then you're a bit, it's a bit more fluid rather than, you know, when you're trying to do like potatoes and whatever, or like certain dishes that have got to be pan fried or something like that, and you're watching it and watching it. And I think it's also, it's easier to cater for more numbers, you know, based on my cooking skills. So
Just throw some more things on.
and I think then it's all about like, so someone else could go and have a look, like cover the barbecue for 5 minutes whilst, if you're talking to, you know, it's much more social, and because it's outside as well with my dream dinner party with the perfect weather, it kind of fits in, and people can stand and sit. I prefer it when it's all around the table, but then, you know, again, it's quite fluid. People can get up and have a drink. It feels less formal, and I'm not that formal. So
What do you have anything like go to that you always do at a barbecue?
I make my own burkas. It just sounds a bit simple compared to other stuff. I have it because at the bar we like spent years perfecting like a really nice burger. I still like making them. I'll get the meat from a local butcher's called The Meat Hook, and he used to supply like Tom Kerridge with his restaurants. So it's like really good mince, and just nice fresh ingredients in there mixed in with it. And then Polish sausages. They're like the German bratwurst, but I don't really know what the difference is, but they just taste amazing.
Where do you get those from?
Well, there's a local Polish shop, so I just go in there. It's quite funny though, because they're called kiełbasa zwyczajna, which just means like normal sausage. So really bland, like uninspiring name. Like Polish people is just like very sort of straight down the, you know, like that is
To the
what it is.
point.
It's, yeah, it hasn't got like, it's not named after a town. It's just a normal sausage. But that name, I remember I asked my wife once to go and buy them for me, and then she didn't speak Polish, so her pronunciation was a little bit off. And she's rather than saying zwyczajna, she said as vagina, and they're kind of looking at her quite strangely. So I
We
had to
don't have
change it. No,
that
we're not that kind of sausage shop. But yeah,
Oh, funny.
they are amazing. I don't know, they're quite simple, but like people still remember them from when we had them at our wedding, and people are like, oh, you're going to have the sausages, and
Nice.
they are amazing. And you just kind of cook them until that they're almost burnt, so, and they just crisp up, and yeah, it tastes great. So
So
and
also no
then
pressure with the like timings of the cooking.
yeah, exactly. You can overcook them and it's fine. Yeah, again, they you could eat them the next day when they're cold. So they're great. So there's no, but I hate waste. So, you know, when there's
Same.
stuff that you can still have the next day and next couple of days, then it's a bonus, isn't it? So,
You almost want to have the leftovers, I think.
yeah, exactly. I don't eat
It's
that.
a bit sad when you're like, oh, everything did get eaten.
Yeah, exactly. I've still got to make dinner tonight, yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing better than being like, oh, we've got nothing, and then being like, oh no, we've got a few leftovers, like we can rustle something up with those.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
But
perfect.
I went traveling for a while when I was younger, and I remember being invited to this like family's barbecue in São Paulo, and it was just really nice. They just cooked meats, chopped them all up, and then passed them around. So it wasn't like you
Oh,
just got
nice.
a steak or a chop or whatever. It was just like really good meats, and their sort of way of doing it was that you kind of got a little bit each and then just pass around, then they cooked up a bit more and then passed it. So no one was like waiting for ages. They were just cooking different bits and then
Oh,
passing it
nice.
around. It was quite, you know, again, it was like nice, social, and yeah, and then you got a bit of everything. When I go for dinner, we always get like sharing plates
Yeah,
or
same.
share two mains with my wife or whoever I'm with. I like rarely get a whole meal where I just want to have that. I kind of like a little bit of meat, a lot of different veg and stuff like that. And that's why kind of that's how it'd be, like different veg dishes, and then just people can have a little bit. They don't have to have like a whole sausage or a whole burger or like a whole bit of steak or anything. They could just have a pick and choose, and then that'll be laid out on the table. And yeah.
Put everything out on the table.
Yeah, and then top it up with bits as they're fresh. So again, so it's not waiting till it's all ready and then putting it all there, like doing bits and pieces, top it up. We sort of grow courgettes in our garden, so we grill them on the barbecue, and different bits come out at different times. So yeah, just let them marinate for ages beforehand and then it all ready to go.
Yeah, nice. I think we skipped tables. So what are you doing with the table? Are you decorating? Well,
I think with the table, I think over the years we've just collected loads of sort of vintage plates, bowls and stuff. Like we still buy them even though we've got nowhere to put them anymore. It's just sort of
story of my life.
Yeah, like mismatched like vintage glasses and stuff like that. So this table would be sort of full of colour from all these different bowls. My wife even did some pottery recently, so we've got some of her stuff that she made. It's a bit misshapen, but that adds to the character.
I've got some of those.
A few thumb marks and stuff like that. But so that it'd be kind of full of that, like nice sort of kind of outdoor candles, I guess. We've got lanterns in our garden, so they again, like when the sun drops, they sort of spring to life and fit. So part of it is table is surrounded by the garden, which kind of adds that vibe to it, and with the mix of different platters and stuff on the table, it's a bit of a mishmash.
I think with the barbecue, that's a good vibe anyway, having everything a bit like help yourself, like food out. Presumably you're going to put all the barbecue food like on the table anyway and people can
like we've got different platters themselves and stuff that we bought and stuff, things that look pretty cool, so like multicolored.
Nice.
So it'd be packed with color. That's for sure.
Nice. And drinks?
Drinks.
What are you going to be serving?
Well, seeing as it's summer, one of our cocktails is called a Pampalita. It's like a red grapefruit margarita. So it's a mix of
love that one.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I think when I was making that, I remember tasting it for the first time when I got the recipe and it just went down very easy. I think whenever people taste it, just taste of summer. So there's tequila, red grapefruit aperitif, and then like the sugar and the citrus in it with like a big wedge of red grapefruit in there. It's just easy to drink. It's not too strong either. So you're not going to get like, I love Negronis, but if you gave everybody a Negroni at the beginning of the meal, they'd probably pass out by it's a difficult because they hit people in different ways. Whereas with the Pampalita, it's like summery, it's like quite tropical. I think it's a good way to drink during the meal. You can always add a bit of soda as well to make it a bit like spritzy, and then that'll just sort of, I think, keep people going through the meal. And then after dinner, I like to have an espresso martini. I think it just works well. It kind of just that bit again when there could be a bit of a lull from overeating or whatever, for sitting down for a longer period of time, you just perks you up and gets you ready for that next level.
It's a gear change.
It is, yeah, I think so. Yeah, definitely. I think for me, it definitely is. So, and a lot of people. That's why usually we have a playlist for the espresso martini. It's more kind of early evening vibes. But with dinner, I think it's perfect to have it there. And that's like, almost your like transition point to like, right, okay, stand up, right.
Shake it out.
Next? Yeah.
Which was the first cocktail that you made?
Two first ones we launched with were It's a London Thing, the gin, ginger and lemongrass gimlet, and the Negroni. And the Negroni kind of happened because it was the first drink I actually batched, and that was for personal consumption when I went on holiday. So I used to like be at duty free and buy a bottle of gin, Campari and like sweet vermouth, and then mix them together and have it in the freezer on holiday. And then with the other cocktails, I used to batch just to speed up service because it was a 180 capacity bar. So they were just to sort of speed up service, but also speed up training. So they were like the two that I kind of already had batched ready. So I thought, well, actually, people want them, then we'll start with these. And then some of them like espresso martini was like quite hard to recreate the bar quality once. It took a bit longer to I would have liked to have started with that, but that took a lot longer to work out the recipe, got it right, and it was better than it was, well, equal to the like freshly made one. So
amazing. Must be so good when you like get it, when you're like, we've perfected it.
Yeah, I think with that one especially, because of the froth, the flavors and stuff, it was especially because like espresso martini, I always made my bartenders make fresh espresso, and I'm like a coffee snob. So it was like, no, it doesn't matter. It's 3 deep of the bar. You've still got to make a fresh espresso. So to be able to replicate that without using fresh espresso was like, I had to try a lot of different coffees to do it. Mm-hmm. But when I got it, I was like, oh, wow, that's good. And then when we served it to people in like after lockdown in the bar, we just used the mix, and no one no one sort of batted an eye. No, some people asked and were like, well, taste it, then you'll realize it's just as good. And they were like, okay, yeah. Or other people that had it without knowing that it was from the pre-batch bottle, they didn't know at all. So
wow, it's so good. Okay. So are you having a dessert? We've kind of gone a bit all over the shop here.
Yeah, yeah, I told you.
Bringing it back to the meal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's your job. So, again, I sound quite simple with my food. So I kind of like make a, like a...
There's nothing wrong with simple food.
Well, so when you're serving for lots of people, I like a variation of an eat and mess, but like I make like a full kind of thing. And then from like a load of mixed berries and pomegranate molasses and blend it all up and stuff. And then I like would make meringues and put that in there and then get some either cream or ice cream, whatever, depending on people's dietary requirements.
Yeah,
So it's like it'd just be a big thing or put them into bowls. But again, like if it's like quite a lot of people, then make it easier. That's kind of my, I don't know why people always ask me to make that. So.
Well, you must be good at it if people ask you. Yeah,
well, it's probably about, maybe it's just the only thing I can make. But yeah, I've made ice cream and stuff like that. But then it's such effort for like to make a tub. It's not really not really worth it. You can't really, it's hard to do.
Yeah, like
on scale,
I could just go and buy it for a couple of quid.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't make sense, does it? Really, like making it.
Eat and mess is a good one for a summer outdoor.
Can chuck in some fresh fruit as well in there, and it just again puts a fresh mint in there, so which we've got growing in the garden.
Farm to table. Straight
probably a couple of red ants in there as well. By our
that's all right, it's all part of the experience.
It's protein.
Okay, cool. Amazing. And then entertainment is the last one. Do you tend to do anything in particular when you have people around?
Well, they always get support. I've got like decks at home. So there's quite a few of my sort of friends like DJ and stuff. So or I get on the decks. It's just a thing, and then sort of have a little diet. That'd probably be moved inside by that point, just because of the noise. I think it's being in a noisy environment for so long at the bar. I just have to have music loud when it comes to DJing. I can't sort of keep it quiet, so yeah, I'd have to sort of move in and a bit of dancing and stuff like that. That would be it. A lot of both me and my wife, a lot of our friends have kind of sort of have a shared love of like dancing and music and sort of kind of clubby vibes. So I think that's usually the where it ends. Even on Christmas Day, we ended up sort of having a mix and sort of play. My cousin, he DJs as well. So when it was, although he always wants to play drum and bass, but I kind of rein him in, and then it'd finish up with like a little bit of dancing and DJing. So that's always my kind of go-to.
I think that's a good way to end it, and then you get, well, not even end it, to continue it.
Exactly. It'd probably be a bit in between, but that's the sort of the way it'd probably end up. So
Oh, nice. Okay, cool. Right, let's do some quick fire questions.
Okay,
what's your takeaway of choice?
Sri Lankan.
Ooh, have you got a good one near you?
Yeah, it's one slightly further away in Amersham. It's brilliant. It's just so good. It's called Colombo. I think it's called Colombo. It's got two different names. Never sure which one it is. But I think that's the website's different from the front of the shop. So, yeah, it's brilliant.
Okay. Favourite condiment?
I don't know. But I just like a really good barbecue sauce. I just love it.
Okay. Have you got one that you always buy?
Further ones you get in like a barbecue restaurant. They're like really good ones. I just love it.
Nice. Top three herbs and spices.
I love sumac. Like, I seem to like just chuck it on stuff, and I'm not ever 100% sure what it's doing, but it just seems to make things taste better.
It's doing something.
It's doing something. Yeah, it's working hard in them, elevating my dishes. But I just chuck that on stuff and it just seems to make it better. Although I've used it in a cocktail before as well.
It's, oh, really?
It's great. Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Like a margarita. It was really good.
Ooh, I love
then parsley and coriander. I just love them. I just can't go wrong with them. Just the more the better. So yeah.
Keep adding it.
Sort of Turkish cuisine, like it just where they just load it in and it's like amazing. So yeah, love it.
Nice. Supermarket of choice.
Yeah, it depends where I'm at. We have a Waitrose up. We mix our shopping up because like for staples, it's probably like Lidl because it's down the road, or Tesco's for our bigger shop of bulk buying, and then Waitrose for
like the bits you can't get.
Well, the problem is with there's too many good like better choices. So if you're hungry, you just
disaster. Like
exactly. So we kind of mix up our shopping. We kind of do our bulk purchasing from like Tesco. We also do like get a veg box from Riverford. So
nice.
They kind of drop it off, and then we're like, "What are we going to do this week?" and figure it out. So
we do the same with Oddbox.
Yeah, it's like, oh, what's that?
It's like we have to do the food shop after the Oddbox arrives.
Yeah,
otherwise...
you do, don't you? Because you have to figure out what to go with it. So
we're like, we've got this week.
Yeah,
what can we make?
They really throw in some curveballs, don't they, sometimes?
Like, yeah, there's the occasional, like, what is this?
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, like now we have to do some proper Googling.
Yeah. I'll try to get our meat from the Meat Hook in Marlow as well, just because his stuff's amazing and they're really good guys as well. So
nice. Okay. So in all over supermarket suite.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Do you have a favourite cookbook?
I love Ottolenghi's stuff. We've got like three of his different ones. I like the Simples one because, the other ones, if I had more time, I'd use the other ones, but I like the Simples one just because his can be really complicated, but it's nice. They're always packed full of flavor. It's probably why I like sumac so much, because it's from one of his recipes. But that whole thing of like big salads as well, with like big sharing dishes, I think I've got that from going to one of his places once and just seeing them there, and they just looked amazing.
So
and
it was good,
like, I just want to eat all of them and
mix all the things together.
Yeah, exactly. Because my wife always says, oh, this doesn't really go with this. It's like when she's cooking, like, it's fine. I just love mixing it all. I don't think it has to necessarily. It's like his stuff is like, I mean, obviously it has that general theme, but it's a lot of different things. And so probably his. Now, I can't remember who done it. It's like a one tin pot thing, like sort of loads of dishes that are in one tin, because I just like the thought of having a clean kitchen when you finish cooking.
Is that an Ottolenghi book, or is that the roasting tin book?
Yeah,
I've got that one. It is good. When you're feeling lazy and you're like, throw it all in, chuck it in the oven.
Yeah. I like that way of cooking. I'm my wife's more the one that buys different ingredients and cooks a dish. I'm more the person that looks in the fridge and figures out what's left over and makes something. So I usually look at a recipe and then I'll go, I'll just use that. I'll chuck that in. I'll use it as a guide rather than like, I think, I don't want that in there, or I'll put more of that in there. Sometimes it's like turns out all wrong, but
it's a risk you've got to take.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm never really sure like how I cook things as well, because I just freestyle. So I kind of very loosely follow certain recipes, or just check whether certain elements might go together or whatever, how to start. So
sweet or savoury?
I generally sweet, but I'm trying not to have as much sugar. So kind of if sugar wasn't so bad, then I'd be sweet all the
definitely
way.
Sweet.
Yeah.
What's your go-to like sweet treat?
I just love ice cream. I went on a holiday once to Sicily and I had like three or four, I had five ice creams once in one day, and they're not like single balls either.
They really like pack it into the little
they cup do that... it's like a good pistachio gelato, or like the sort of hazelnut and chocolate ones there. I could, and then obviously you've got to have another one afterwards as a, like some sorbet as a palate cleanser. So
cleanser before you go into the next scoop.
My friends know me for like going to a supermarket and buying a tub of like sorbet and then finishing it by the time I've driven home. Like I used to pick up a spoon from the salad station or whatever and then then eat it on the way home. It's just, yeah, I so binge funny. Ice cream and sorbet. So
favorite crisp?
I've recently rediscovered nice and spicy knickknacks.
Oh, I love knickknacks.
Yeah, those kind of old school ones, like the them Frazzles and Wheat Crunchies. I wrote a letter once to Wheat Crunchies and just saying how good their crisps were.
Did you get a response?
I did, yeah. They just said, thank you, glad you like them. I was hoping maybe to get some vouchers. I mean, they just like, yeah, thanks. Obviously, there's all like the nice, really fancy ones, which are probably, like those old school ones that you used to get at a pub or something like that, that just be there, like, they're nice and spicy knickknacks. When I had those recently, I was like, wow, where have these been for the last 20 years of my life?
Why did I forget about these?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Just don't see them as often anymore. So, but yeah, they're... I love those. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's as good a point to end on as any. Thank you so much. That was so good.
No worries, thank you.
I feel like you've got me excited about like barbecue weather now.
Yeah, hopefully sometime soon.
It was really sunny when we started this and now it's raining. So classic.
Yeah, it's just classic English kind of gone grey. So yeah, perfect.
Do you want to let people know where they can find you on social media and stuff if they don't already follow you?
Yes, so our website is rhythmic.co.uk. Instagram is at rhythmiccocktails.
you seem like you're not sure.
Tash does all the socials. Yeah. At Rhythmic is R-Y-T-H, M for mother, I-K as well, just because we took a slightly alternative spelling. So, yeah.
I'll put them all in the show notes.
Amazing.
Well, so people
can click
them.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much. This was so
on
fun.
On the Spotify as well, if you're looking for our playlist, it's Rhythmic Cocktails. So we're on there. So,
yeah, I'll make sure that's in there as well. So it's
cool,
easy,
lovely.
Easy to find. Excellent. All right, thank you so much.
No, thank you. Cheers. Have a good one.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Tables to Talk About. If you enjoyed it, I'd absolutely love if you would subscribe and leave us a review. It really helps people find us and allows me to get the absolute best guests that I can for you. If we've inspired you to get hosting and you fancy yourself some playful tableware or you need help setting the scene for an upcoming event, you can follow us at Studio Dine on socials or check out our website studiodine.com for more. I'll see you next time.